Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Building the foundation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Gavin, who's in for Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday, August 26th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Pentagon officials are preparing to send unmanned drones into Syria to monitor terrorist targets. Some say this lays the groundwork for airstrikes.
Thousands attend the funeral of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, plus the ballooning controversy about who was on hand.
From the entertainment world, Breaking Bad scores again at the Emmys. You'll hear some of the winners and losers.
And what a public earthquake warning system could do for California.
You can get to a safe space for public agencies. Say you're running a train system, you can automatically slow those trains to a stop to avoid derailments. For firefighters, they can program their garage doors to automatically open when these warnings come through so they don't get jammed shut if the building buckles or they lose power.
Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson on the testing of a warning system in California and why there's not one already in place. He's here in about 10 minutes. Well, this could be a precursor to airstrikes in Syria. The Pentagon is preparing to send surveillance aircraft, including unmanned drones, into Syrian airspace to gather intelligence on Islamist targets. The move amounts to an acknowledgement that U.S. intelligence collection efforts must be expanded to provide a better picture of the threat posed by the group calling itself the Islamic State, which holds large portions of Syrian and Iraqi territory. Here's State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
We're going to do what is necessary to protect Americans. So, again, I'm not going to get ahead of decision-making that the president hasn't made yet or rule any option on or off the table, but we're not going to be restricted by borders.
Syria's foreign minister, by the way, is warning against any such strikes without consent from Damascus. The drones would enter Syrian airspace without any Syrian regime approval or authorization. The Obama administration often has said that fighting a common enemy does not make the Syrian regime a U.S. ally. In Iraq, by the way, the U.S. has both drones in the air to collect intelligence and human intelligence on the ground. The U.S. does not have a similar ground presence in Syria. Well, many people entrenched in Washington politics are wondering whether the rise of the terrorist group Islamic State has changed President Obama's reluctance to reengage militarily in Iraq or to intervene in Syria. But Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib says a similar question on a parallel path is whether this new Islamic extremism has changed America's deep reluctance to engage again in the Middle East. Jerry, how do you see this?
One of the realities of the last few months, which has been discussed a lot, is that President Obama is who made a big point of his presidency about getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan, has been very reluctant to go back into Iraq and reluctant to go into Syria. He's about getting out of war, is not getting in. But I think an equally important and less discussed point is, where's the American public on this? And they have shared the president's reluctance to get reengaged in Iraq or to get involved in Syria by and large. large. So while everybody's wondering now whether the rise of the Islamic State extremist movement, army state in Iraq and Syria has changed the president's view, I think there's an equally important question about whether it has made Americans, broadly speaking, more willing to see their government and their military get reengaged in Iraq and maybe to get involved in Syria to try to stop the rise of this extremely frightening Islamic extremist organization that has, after all, already declared the existence of an Islamic State straddling the border of Iraq and Syria.
Is the public's opinion on this changing?
It's hard to know. One of the crystallizing events here was probably the execution by beheading of James Foley, an American journalist, which I think had the effect of shocking Americans into realizing just how brutal the Islamic State extremists can be and are, and the extent to which they consider, like the Al-Qaeda movement from which Islamic State sprang, that they consider the U.S. and the West to be enemies. They have a lot of enemies, and many of their enemies are actually within the Islamic world, but they clearly consider the U.S. to be an enemy. The question, I think, on the table now is whether the shock of the killing of James Foley had an effect on the American psyche. It's hard to tell until there's some more public polling that occurs, and that hasn't really happened yet.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. So does the public opinion here dictate what the president might do?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's both what the public thinks and what the political pressure on the president is. And right now, he's kind of caught between on both those subjects. There are some in Washington, and particularly on the Republican side, people like Senator John McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham, who are basically agitating openly for a more aggressive approach to dealing with the Islamic State, including going after Islamic State targets inside Syria, not just in Iraq. But on the other side of that, there's a big portion of his Democratic Party that simply does not want to get reinvolved, that thinks the war in Iraq was a mistake in the first place.
Right. Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. It's 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Trips to the post office take up valuable time. Leasing a postage meter, expensive, with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. You can even get special postage discounts that you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ.
Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday morning. Thousands of people attended the funeral service yesterday for Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. He was the young man gunned down by police on August 9. He was unarmed. As a choir sang gospel songs and mourners raised their hands in unison, the mood for the teenager's funeral was celebratory rather than somber at the Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church. Much of the unrest there has eased in recent days. And while the unrest has eased, the controversy has not. There's criticism of activist Reverend Al Sharpton, who delivered the eulogy. Some say his job as host on MSNBC and double duty as an advisor to President Obama is a conflict of interest.
He wants to be remembered as the one that made America deal with how we're going to police in the United States.
In addition, several Obama administration officials attended the ceremony, another move seen as controversial. In this case, the question is, will the Obama administration show similar support to the Ferguson Police Department? In recent days, supporters of Officer Darren Wilson, by the way, have grown more vocal, saying he has been vilified before all the facts are known and before he has told his side of the story. Well, Napa residents did not receive a warning about the 6.0 magnitude earthquake that struck in the wee hours of Sunday morning because the state does not have an early warning system like ones found in Japan and Mexico City. Although there's one in the works at Cal Berkeley, some are wondering how big an earthquake has to be before the system can get full funding to become a public-wide system. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. Zusha, how does a system like this work?
The way the system works is you have sensors in the ground in earthquake-prone areas. And what happens is when an earthquake starts, it sends off a seismic wave, and that wave hits the sensor, and then the sensor sends out the alert. That wave comes before the second sort of set of primary waves, and the second set is the more damaging one. That's the ones that sort of shake the ground and knock over buildings. So that's what gives people a couple seconds to all the way up to a minute if you're far enough away to get ready for the earthquake. Now, here's what people can do with that advance warning, experts say. You can get to a safe space. For public agencies, say you're running a train system, you can automatically slow those trains to a stop to avoid derailments. For firefighters, they can program their garage doors to automatically open when these warnings come through so they don't get jammed shut if the building buckles or they lose power. Experts also say you can use it to program elevators to stop so people can get out of the elevators and not be stuck in between floors.
Would you only have a couple of seconds normally between the first and second waves?
Just sort of depends how far you are from the epicenter of the earthquake. If you're closer to the epicenter, you'll get a much shorter warning. If you're further away, you'll get a longer warning.
It appears that this worked in Sunday's 6.0 earthquake in California, right?
That's right. So the system's being beta tested right now by scientists and by a couple public agencies, and they were given a warning before this earthquake hit.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. How close are we to seeing this being used regularly?
It's already being used in Mexico City and in Japan. The systems were implemented in both of those places after really large earthquakes. What we're seeing right now in California is they're developing the system, but they don't have the funding to implement it. It would take about $80 million to build it out and run it for 5 years in California, and $120 million to build it out and run it for 5 years across the entire West Coast. State lawmakers say they're trying to find some funding now. The state of California actually passed a bill saying that the system should be built out, but they didn't include any funding when it passed last year. That bill required the state agency to identify funding by 2016. But as I said, state lawmakers are trying to get funding before then.
Could this recent earthquake speed things up and get the funding needed?
I mean, everyone who's working on this and all the lawmakers who pushed for this are hoping that this heightened the urgency.
How is this warning communicated to everybody?
They're developing that right now, but in Japan, as I understand, it's sent to people's phones and computers and so forth, and that's what they would hope to do here. It would come through to people's smartphones. But for public agencies, it goes right into their computer systems, and they can do with it what they will.
Thanks, Zusha. Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is here. He has America's first news.
Good morning. The Pentagon is preparing to send surveillance aircraft, including drones, into Syrian airspace in order to gather intelligence, a possible prelude to airstrikes against Islamic militants there. Meanwhile, Syria's foreign minister warned the U.S. not to conduct airstrikes without the government's consent. An Army soldier died Monday at Fort Lee in Virginia after turning a gun on herself as she was negotiating with officers after barricading herself in a base office. Army Major General Stephen Lyons.
During negotiations with the soldier, she chose to turn the weapon on herself.
The base was on lockdown for about an hour as the incident was unfolding. The woman's name has not been released, and the incident is under investigation. The Wall Street Journal reports that Warren Buffett has gotten involved in helping to finance the takeover of Canadian donut chain Tim Hortons by Miami-based Burger King in a so-called inversion deal. The surprise move could thrust the billionaire investor into a spirited debate over U.S. taxes. Gordon will have more on that debate coming up. Coca-Cola is introducing a mid-calorie cola in Mexico, hoping that increasingly waistline-conscious Mexicans will jump on board. The country is Coke's second biggest market by sales volume. And last night's Emmy Awards had a very familiar feel to them as there were a slew of repeat winners. Breaking Bad took home the Outstanding Drama Series prize for the second year in a row. Modern Family won in the Outstanding Comedy category for the fifth year in a row. The Big Bang Theory's Jim Parsons took home the Lead Actor in a Comedy trophy for the fourth time.
He encouraged me to be an actor. He never discouraged me to be an actor. And in a career that hinges so much on confidence a lot of the time, that was a really great gift.
And that's Jim Parsons talking about his father. As you may have heard, Parsons and his castmates were richly rewarded for their success this season, which didn't get by Emmy host Seth Meyers.
When your show starts getting some attention and critical acclaim, kill off all the main characters. Otherwise, before you know it, you're paying Sheldon $1 million an episode.
And nice. There you go.
Nice. So it's the beautiful people celebrating the beautiful people themselves.
Of course.
At this awards.
And there were extra beautiful people because it seemed like there was a bunch of movie stars there as well. Julia Roberts was in the audience because nominated for a TV appearance she made. And so they crammed in some extra beautiful people this year, too.
It's an overabundance.
Which is good for us at home, I guess.
That's funny. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Don't forget, by the way, get the brand new WSJ Radio app. It's an Apple's app store for your iPhone and iPad. It's really easy to use, too. I use it. Also available for Android devices, and it's in the Amazon app store, say if you have a Kindle. Hey, thanks for being with us. You've heard about the talks between Burger King and Tim Hortons about a type of merger called an inversion. This is when a U.S. firm relocates, usually through a merger with a smaller company, to a country where tax rates and rules are perceived to be friendlier, but it typically continues to be managed from the U.S. The buzz about Burger King's potential move has drawn quick condemnation from some lawmakers in Washington. Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon has more on mixing burgers and donuts. He's on the T-Mobile hotline. John, set this up.
This is a debate that has kind of gone quiet a little bit the last few weeks, maybe just because of the summer lull, but maybe just also because the administration's efforts to get Congress to crack down on this type of transaction seem to have discouraged them for a while. There weren't a lot of announcements, but this is a big announcement by a very, very well-known company, and so it's generating a lot of attention and getting some criticism from critics of this type of deal.
Could unsuccessful efforts by lawmakers here result in the president going after this on his own?
There's certainly been talk of that. The administration has said if Congress doesn't do anything, then we might have to act. And so if Congress can't bring itself together to do something about inversions, then it seems pretty likely that the administration would try to do something. And it's certainly not clear that they can shut these things down altogether. It could be that they just limit some of the benefits and make them somewhat less attractive to companies and maybe around the margins reduce the number of them.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon on the phone in Washington. If we see the Senate looking to do something about inversions, will it be met by the House?
Yeah, those are going to be tough questions. I think Republicans are much more skeptical about any kind of quick fix legislation. They think that the real answer is to make the U.S. more attractive to businesses and not to simply make it tougher to move away from the U.S. They would rather do comprehensive rewrite of the tax code that lowers rates and brings the U.S. more in line with basically the rest of the developed world in terms of tax rules. It's not clear that Republicans are going to go along with Democrats in any numbers to allow some kind of quick fix legislation to pass. But there is going to be a lot of pressure on them, particularly with, you know, a big name like Burger King out there to sort of draw public attention to the issue. It's not clear that Republicans won't feel so much pressure that they have to go along.
This can also be a big campaign issue maybe for this election, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of people think that a big reason why Democrats are so focused on this issue right now is that the election season is heating up and president's pretty unpopular in polls right now. And it could be that Democrats are looking for a way to change the subject and sort of shift blame for the economy and other frustrations more onto Republicans.
Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon in our nation's capital. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Trips to the post office take up valuable time. Leasing a postage meter, expensive, with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. You can even get special postage discounts that you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's stamps.com. Enter WSJ.
powered by the most trusted name in journalism. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's First News.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Tuesday, August 26th. Gordon Deal with Mike Gavin, who's filling in for Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the U.S. could be preparing for airstrikes in Syria. Thousands attend the funeral of Michael Brown in Ferguson. A good night for Breaking Bad. And the price of wine after Cali's quake on Sunday. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. A growing amount of research finds that teenagers are wired to sleep later and can benefit from school days that start later. Yesterday, the American Academy of Pediatrics urged middle and high schools to start at 8:30 a.m. or later due to the biological changes in sleep affecting adolescents. One researcher said 9 a.m. would be an ideal start time. Is this more coddling of our youth, or are there tangible reasons for a later start? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy in New York. Sumathi, what are we learning?
So there's been lots of studies on this, and basically they've all found that in schools that have delayed school start times, they find improved physical health, improved mental health, fewer attendance problems, better student performance, and very interestingly, a reduction in car crash accidents.
All right. That's a lot.
Yeah. So they basically say that everything you look at is improved when you delay school start times, and the later the delay, the better.
But part of me says, geez, suck it up. Everybody else, got to school early when we were growing up. What makes it so different for them?
A common reaction. I know there's a lot of people who say, why can't they just go to bed earlier?
Yeah.
Or they're just lazy. They're, on their iPhones all night doing
right.
Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
But what the point of the pediatricians is that this is actually a biological thing that's driving them to go to sleep later. And when you hit puberty, so it's different for everyone, obviously, earlier for girls, there is a delay in your circadian rhythm, which causes you to get sleepy 1 to 2 to even 3 hours later than usual. So it's really hard for a teenager to fall asleep before 11. It's just not going to happen.
Wow.
Of course, that is exacerbated by things like social media and use of phones and a lot of, people's schedules. They have all these activities and sports and schoolwork that causes them to go to bed later also. But there's also a physiological sort of biological drive that's causing them to fall asleep later.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy. So what is the likelihood then that schools suddenly will adopt this American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation?
It's a very controversial issue. I mean, over the past decade, there have been about 1,000 schools that have delayed school start times, but almost always with a big fight. Yes, because there's all kinds of opposition from athletic groups is a big source of opposition.
Yes, right.
Messes up their schedules, the cost. So the districts, a lot of them are concerned about millions of dollars that some of them have to pay if they, reroute all their buses. And there's also a concern just from a lot of parents who's like, they have younger kids in elementary school and the older kids take care of the younger kids. Or, walk them to school, walk them back home. And even small businesses have expressed opposition because their labor force is going to come in later. So it's a very complicated political question. And the best example of this is Fairfax County, Virginia, one of the largest districts in the country, one of the top performing districts in the country. They've been studying this issue for more than a decade. And they're finally actually voting on it in October. Their high school starts at 7:20.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at several options that will cause it to that will push it to after 8 o'clock.
How significant is the student performance issue? Was that really measurable, or was it within a margin of error, or what?
So there have been older studies, and none of them really found there were no statistically significant improvements in student performance when you looked at test scores or grades. There was a very large study done in March that was funded by the Centers for Disease Control by some University of Minnesota research that looked at more than 9,000 students in 3 states in high schools that had delayed school start times, and they did find measurable statistically significant improvements in student performance in terms of test scores and grades.
Thanks, Sumathi. Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy in New York. She writes about a kid named Patrick O'Keefe, who's 17, says he's never sleepy before 11 p.m. On rare days when football, wrestling, and homework are done by 10, he still is not tired enough to fall asleep. He's a senior. He's got a 7 a.m. school start time at Choctawhatchee High School in Okaloosa County, Florida. He says to wake up by 6 a.m., he sets 3 different alarms on his phone, spaced 10 minutes apart. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. In any business, it's important to maximize your potential, and 2 keys are strong communication and collaboration. They allow you to close deals faster, problem solve better, and create new opportunities. That's why you need Citrix GoToMeeting. It's the best, most efficient way to meet with clients and customers from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. With GoToMeeting, you can meet online as often as you like with anyone, anywhere in the world. You can share screens to review documents and presentations together in real time, all while using the built-in HD video conferencing feature to see each other face-to-face to engage and connect. It's just like being in the same room, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting allows you to cut out the wasted time and expense of travel so you can be more productive without losing that personal touch of meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free today to see what it can do for you. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free for 30 Days button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. Glad you're with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. This is the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to 24 roses, plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers is quick and easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. You can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses, plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in WSJ. Order today because this deal expires Friday at midnight. Deception is sometimes used in the name of science. This is generally defined as when researchers intentionally act or withhold information from participants so that they hold false beliefs. It occurs in many forms and with varying degrees of ethical uncertainty. Outrage over a study published using Facebook data is a recent example. Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong in London has a look at the role of deception. Shirley, explain it.
Deception has been used for decades and decades. A lot of it is in psychology research. So one of the most famous studies, which many people have heard of, is the Milgram experiments, which were conducted to try to understand when people would obey authority. And these subjects in the study were told to shock another participant, and they actually thought they were shocking the individuals. Of course, it turned out that they weren't. It was just a study in terms of, you know, how well they would listen to authority. But a lot of the participants in the study were really traumatized because they thought they were really hurting someone. And so from sort of that point forward, that was one of the classic studies that people point to as evidence of, you know, was that okay? Could we ever do that again? When is it okay to tell people that what you're asking them to do is actually not the point of the study?
So what are some of the arguments for and against this type of deception?
The main reasons when deception is considered ethically okay, according to experts, is when you are trying to do something where if people knew what you were actually doing, they wouldn't behave the same way. You may not be able to understand or get the truth out of them. And another would be if there's no other way of getting at that question.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong. You write about a look into soccer stadium behavior. What issues did the researcher face there?
He said that he had to regularly commit what he considered to be minor criminal activities, meaning he might have to bring alcohol on a train where alcohol was banned, or, you know, storming the field is actually an illegal activity, but he would sometimes do this because he needed to keep his disguise and be one of the crowd. And so for him there, you know, it was interesting in terms of, you know, where does he draw that line? A lot of the decisions he had to make in the field, sort of snap decisions. But ultimately, his work ended up adding to a body of work that seemed to suggest the way that police were trying to enforce crowd behavior in soccer stadiums probably wasn't right, and in fact maybe making things worse, and has led to some policy changes.
Thanks, Shirley. Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong from London. 15 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Whether you're traveling for business or leisure, choose Lexington Inns and Hotels for exceptional service, great rates, and a personal touch. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. Here's something unsettling for those of you with young drivers under your roof. A new survey finds most teenagers don't know how to change a tire. More on the specifics from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Weinstein.
The study finds that 52% of U.S. teens don't know how to change a tire. In addition, 44% don't know how to examine the tire tread depth, and 32% can't figure out how to check tire pressure. Those numbers have researchers saying that at least some accidents involving teens might be avoided if they involve underinflated tires or tires with worn treads. The data will be used to press state governments to expand or add tire safety education in driver ed courses. Currently, only 16 states require tire safety information as part of the driver's education. Gordon?
All right. Thank you, Mike. It is 10 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is here now. He's got America's first news.
Good morning. Thousands of people filled the St. Louis church Monday to remember Michael Brown, whose shooting by a police officer in nearby Ferguson, Missouri, sparked days of unrest. Brown's mother says that the death of her son would not be in vain.
He just wanted so much. He wanted to go to college. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to be a good father. But God chose differently, and I'm at peace about that because he's not a lost soul. His death is not in vain.
Building safety in California is getting renewed scrutiny in the wake of Sunday's powerful tremor, which proved that certain types of construction are more dangerous in quakes. The quake was the strongest to hit the San Francisco Bay Area in 25 years. Scores of aftershocks have since reverberated throughout the region. With space junk becoming a real-life worry of the kind depicted in the hit Hollywood movie Gravity, U.S. defense giant Lockheed Martin has joined with a Sydney-based tech company to build a tracking station in the Australian outback that can follow debris as small as a baseball, threatening commercial and government satellites orbiting the Earth. This technology was first proven on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan to track debris moving at speeds of more than 17,000 miles an hour. Stock futures are positive this morning after a positive day on Wall Street yesterday, which saw another record close for the S&P 500. Gary Bradshaw, portfolio manager at Hodges Capital Management in Dallas, says that there's no reason why the markets can't keep heading north.
It appears that the Federal Reserve is going to keep these interest rates slow. We've seen good earnings, and the economy is obviously improving.
And with airlines increasingly squeezing us out of precious legroom in an attempt to squeeze out more profits, it's not surprising that we've now had a brawl over legroom on a flight. The fight started Sunday on a United Airlines flight because one passenger was using the knee defender, which is a gadget that attaches to your tray table and prevents the person in front of you from reclining. Yes. The dispute on the flight from Newark to Denver escalated to the point where the airline had to divert to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The man and woman who were in the fight were taken off the plane, and the flight continued on to Denver without them. No arrests were made.
Wow. When good flyers go bad.
Exactly. Jeez. You know what, though? I mean, they say this knee defender thing is actually banned on most airlines, So it's kind of frowned upon. But you know what? I hate when people push the seat in front of me. I think it's rude, and I can't stand it. Right. So good for whoever protested about that.
The knee defender. Yep. I have to look that up. Thank you, Mike. 7 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Some people not overly concerned about California's earthquake on Sunday appear to be more concerned about the damage to Napa's stock of wine and what could happen to the price of a bottle. TV images, among other things, showed oak barrels being tossed around like corks among the country's 700-plus wineries. MarketWatch reporter Daniel Goldstein, though, says it could have been worse. Daniel, what are you hearing?
Really, right now is the images in Napa look pretty horrific if you're a wine lover or sommelier and wondering if you're going to be able to get your favorite wine at the store. And the good news is probably the images are worse than they actually are. And I talked to some winemakers and some folks on some vineyards there, and they said, well, look, you know what? We're not really too worried about it. Most of the stock that we have managed to survive the earthquake. People are obviously texting pictures and putting images up on the website. But the good news is the wine is going to be there for the most part. You might see a little bit of shortage on a particular brand or a particular vintage, but a lot of the wine experts I talked to at UC Davis, which actually has its own winemaking program, believe it or not, they said, you know what, there's going to be plenty of substitutes, and the 2014 harvest really hasn't been affected yet. So right now it's a little bit of wait and see, but for now, I wouldn't expect a lot of price increases in your favorite wine.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Daniel Goldstein. Would this have been worse if it hit another part of wine country?
Well, the interesting thing, which is good, is that, well, first of all, this part of the wine-growing region that got hit actually was further to the south, and that's the good news. Is if you know Napa Valley, and believe it or not, I'm actually from that part of Northern California. I've got some family who actually are working this earthquake right now for the Napa Fire Department. The earthquake, for the most part, was centered around Sonoma and American Canyon, and most of the wine growing and wineries are in the north part of Napa Valley.
How about that? Thanks, Daniel. That is MarketWatch reporter Daniel Goldstein. Grew up in the area. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.